What you got then?
Well, there's egg and bacon, egg, sausage and bacon, egg and spam, egg, bacon and spam, egg, bacon, sausage and spam, spam, bacon, sausage and spam, spam, egg, spam, spam, bacon and spam, 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 egg and spam, 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 baked beans, spam, spam, spam and spam, all lobster, thermidor, crevettes with mornay sauce, garnished with truffle pate, brandy, and a pie on top and spam.
Have you got anything without spam in it?
Well, spam, egg, sausage and spam. There's not got much spam in it.
I don't want any spam.
Why can't you have egg, bacon, spam and sausage?
That's got spam in it.
Not as much as spam, egg, sausage and spam.
Look, could I have egg, bacon, spam and sausage without the spam? What do you mean? I don't like spam.
The great Terry Jones, of course.
Shove Bob Elvis into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Elvis Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Right on!
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bob and Elvis Show.
Yeah, Terry Jones. I'm surprised no one's ever even mentioned that this week, given that...
I've seen his name pop up on Twitter a bit.
Terry Jones.
That Terry Jones. Yeah, I thought that if you just replace spam with 9/11, that it was like a Republican campaign ad.
That too.
You know?
That too.
9/11.
That's exactly right. Oh my God. I mean, so much stuff to talk about this week. I don't know that we're going to be able to actually pack it in. It's the Bob and Elvis Show. Bob Seska here in Pennsylvania. Elvis Dingledine there in Nebraska. Today's show brought to you by Bubble Genius, of course, and brand new sponsor for the show, Pomegranate Journeys, pomegranate.travel. More about those guys in a little bit. Just absolutely the coolest. It just combines like three of my favorite things. It's food, wine, and wine. And wine is twice. No, it's food, wine, and cycling. Pomegranate Journeys. Talk about them in just a few minutes. But so just when you thought all of this this Muslim nonsense was done, I thought it was finished. I thought we were done talking about the mosque. And yeah. And I haven't even really been thinking much about Pastor Terry Jones.
He's good people.
Makes me giggle every time. Pastor Terry Jones and this Quran burning. Mm-hmm. Until, of course, today, our favorite person, Sarah Palin, decides to drop in her point of view on Facebook. Did you see this?
No.
Well, here we go.
Uh-oh.
It's actually not as awful as you might think until you read it again.
Mm-mm.
So basically, she comes out. The headline is, Quran burning is insensitive, comma, unnecessary, semicolon, Pastor Jones, please stand down.
Jesus, semicolon.
Semicolon, right? Now, here's this proves that she doesn't write this shit. It will. This is one of the sentences. It will feed the fire of caustic rhetoric and appear as nothing more than a mean-spirited religious intolerance. Don't feed that fire. If your ultimate point is to prove that the Christian teachings of mercy, justice, freedom, and equality provide the foundation on which our country stands, then your tactic to prove this point is totally counterproductive. Our nation was founded in part by those fleeing religious persecution. Freedom of religion is integral to our charters of liberty. We don't need to agree with each other on theological matters, but tolerating each other without unnecessarily provoking strife is how we ensure a civil society.
Boy, that just treads the line. Just, I mean, just really muscles up to the line of, eh, it's all right, do whatever you want. It's so, that is so, such a weak defense of, but you know, yeah, it's literally correct.
Well, and here's what pissed me off about it. I mean, it had to come down. There had to be something to piss me off about it. I mean, it wouldn't be a Sarah Palin tweet or Facebook post if it didn't just fire me up.
Yeah.
And you know, she doesn't need to do much. This is obvious. I mean, here I think, okay, well, good. Maybe something Sarah Palin has written will actually make me go, huh, okay. Well, I mean, there's nothing particularly special about this point of view. It's not, you know, earth-shattering. But at least it's reasonable. But no, no. I skipped over the lead paragraph or the lead sentence in all of this. Book burning, Ghost Sarah Palin writes, is antithetical to American ideals. Of course I agree with that.
Mm. But, and antithetical, much, much bigger word than we're used to hearing from her.
SAT that. Mm-hmm. People have a constitutional right to burn a Quran if they want to. But doing so is insensitive and an unnecessary provocation, much like building a mosque at ground zero.
Wah, there wah. There it go. Is. That was from The Price is Right, wasn't it?
That's right. That's right. So here it is.
Oh, you guessed the price incorrectly.
Much like
it was $4.99.
One of these days I'll break out my drunken Rod Roddy impression. I mean, Rod Roddy always cracked me up because he always had that shiny jacket drunk, just sloshed.
Oh, in his little glass case over there they kept him in, just pickled. Rod Roddy. You guessed him correctly. Right. But yeah, it's a little wink and a nod there. You know, hey, we don't approve of it, but you build the mosque, we're going to burn your Quran. Sorry. But now let me make with the $5 SAT words to make sure you understand. A little wink and a nod there at the beginning.
Once again, I mean, we have a completely false equivalence here. There is no equivalence between the mosque or the I've been trapped.
See, they've
into
got
their
you
frame.
Buying into it.
That's right.
I refuse to say mosque.
I'm repeating Republican memes now, right?
You are. That's how they work. Oh, you said mosque. I'm sorry. What do we have for Johnny?
So
we need some party gifts.
There is no equivalence between the burning of a pile of Qurans in the middle of, you know, Georgia by
Florida.
Pastor Terry Jones.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I can't say that name without thinking spam, 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 sausage, bacon, eggs, and spam.
Yeah,
but it's not the same. Park 51 is not the same as burning these holy books. Park 51 is a community center that is not at ground zero. No one should be offended by that whatsoever. It's certainly not going to create or foment terrorism.
Well, it could. But I mean, some of these points that they're making, you know, I don't know for I don't know for a certainty that there won't be a broom closet somewhere in that place where a couple of radical minded young New York Muslims get together and plot to blow up a fruit stand. I don't know that won't happen, but fuck it, that's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't understand about this. It's a nexus. It's a hub. It's a headquarters. It's like the last thing these people are going to do is publicize the building of a terror headquarters and build it 13 stories high with shiny glass and metal and hang out a sign and go, hey, look, this is where we're meeting now. Terrorism doesn't work that way. They don't need the secret volcano lair.
Yeah.
You got a telephone or a fucking email account, you can plan some terror.
That's right.
I don't get this. It's not Rommel in North Africa. You know, it's not, well, we got to coordinate 10,000 troops and a panzer tank. It's it's a couple of guys with something they built from Home Depot that goes boom. How hard is that to do? Obviously not hard because it's been kicking the shit out of the number one superpower for the last 10 years.
And only Rudy Giuliani sticks the headquarters right at the location of a previous terrorist attack.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. He's going to put his terror response and threat center like two floors above the last place they tried to explode a terror device.
Yeah.
Good job, Rudy.
Yeah. And we'll get to him in a little bit because there was that big love letter to Rudy Giuliani on Nat Geo last night that I
yeah, had that's good what I was talking about last week. Yeah, thank God they gave him a microphone because you know, you never get to hear Rudy Giuliani talk about 9/11.
Yeah.
Thank God National Geographic had the foresight to give him a chance to talk about 9/11.
Yeah, but I mean since when? I mean, what the goddamn hell? Since when are the terrorists going to decide, you know what, we're gonna set up shop right there.
Right.
And that's complete and utter nonsense. The frame that somehow this is going to the Quran burning on September 11th, for God's sake, and the Park 51 Community Center, I mean, are not the same. They're not the same.
That implies that building the community center, it does some specific harm to Christianity or Judaism or any other religion. That burning a holy book, a specific text, is doing harm to, you know, psychic harm to whatever religion the text you're burning belongs to. That is specific harm.
Yeah.
The making an equivalency between those two things means that the community center does some specific harm to Christianity or Judaism or Buddhism or flying spaghetti monsterism. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Jefferson said it best. You know, it doesn't pick my pocket or kick me in the balls. I'm paraphrasing to, you know, whether the guy love, you know, whether you love whether, you know, it's the Muslim or the Jew or anybody else.
Yeah.
I don't think he said kick me in the balls.
Now, the FBI here just released a statement today about Pastor Terry Jones. It's from ABC News. The FBI is concerned that Islamic extremists might attack and retaliate at this Saturday's Quran burning planned by radical Florida Pastor Terry Jones. Spam. Quote. While the FBI has no information to indicate a specific attack has been planned against the United States or U.S. assets in response to the, quote, International Burn a Quran Day event, I love how they actually inserted the branded name of the event right in there.
It's worldwide.
Yeah. Good job, FBI. I'm surprised they didn't provide the link, too. The International Burn a Quran Day event at www.internationalburnaquran.com. The FBI assesses with high confidence that, as with past incidents perceived as acts of desecration against Islam, extremist actors will continue to threaten or attempt to harm the leaders, organizers, or attendees of the event, an FBI intelligence bulletin notes. It's a bulletin.
That'd be terrible.
Yeah.
I want to know who's turning up for this thing, because that is a crowd I would love to get the license plates. You remember that scene in Mississippi Burning?
Yeah.
They're having a little Klan rally,
right,
and the FBI is out there writing down license plates. That's what we need there. We need a team of license plate writer downers, because every single human being that turns up to that can go fuck themselves and they belong in prison.
It's same in the Godfather. They're doing that too. The FBI is out
right.
there.
Yeah, at the wedding, they're Sonny writing down. Yeah,
goes
and
out.
And some goomba crashes blows up a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sonny goes out there and bashes their camera. Are they reporters? I think they're FBI guys.
I think it's both.
I don't think it's both. I've only seen that movie 1,000 times.
I know.
And I'm going, Jesus Christ, it's like in the first 10 minutes.
Buonasera. Buonasera. you say you wanna burn the Quran. You come to me and say, Godfather, why can't I burn this Quran? I said, well, you go talk to Sarah Palin.
That is one of the greatest mashups I've ever heard, sir.
Well, thank you. I don't think that qualifies as a mashup.
Somehow we were able to interconnect Sarah Palin, Berna Carande, and The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Excellent.
Bonus, Sarah.
So President Obama actually addressed the whole thing. I'm not sure if he actually addressed it by the actual branded name of the event, But he said something that I thought was kind of funny in terms of the I don't know, the word usage. President Barack Obama said in an interview Thursday that the Quran-burning plan by a Florida pastor, Terry Jones, was quote destructive and a recruitment bonanza for Al-Qaeda. And of course, right, I started thinking, oh, they're all getting together like... like a bunch of hillbillies all having a big recruiting bonanza. When I think Al-Qaeda, I don't necessarily... Now, remember, I really believe that the president is a great speaker and a very smart person. Just a recruitment bonanza seems like an odd way to...
Yeah, they're all sitting around. Hey, Terry, do you hear what they're doing with that Koran? Terry, they're doing what? Goddamn!
They start firing their guns in the air.
Right on!
Smells like hootenanny.
That's right. It's a recruitment hootenanny for Al-Qaeda. Oh my god, I can just see them like their long beards. All they really have to do is put on like straw caps, like straw hats and like shit kicker overalls, no shirt, and just sit on the porch, stomping their feet. They've got the long beards already. Anyway, so it's a recruitment bonanza for Al-Qaeda, which is true. It's just a funny
use of it. It's a disgrace. It makes me ashamed to be an American, and every single person that shows up at that thing should get...
Well, it occurs to me that perhaps the president was actually speaking to a certain demographic when he said that. He's speaking to the heart of Georgia.
Okay, it's Florida.
Florida.
Same thing.
Why did I think it was Georgia? Anyway, Florida.
I lived in Florida for 3 years. This is a shithole.
It's a police state down there is what it is.
It is. I mean, I had to... When I got... We moved from Tampa, Florida, to Fairfax County, Virginia. So we went from literally the lowest common denominator school system. I mean, just the scum school system of the earth. Mm-hmm. Just absolute militarized zone school system to, you know, one of the top five school districts in the Fairfax County schools are ridiculous. And I had to basically restart everything. I had to drop a couple of levels in, you know, I was just completely lost because they taught me nothing in Florida.
Well, so I think, you know, I just think the president is said bonanza to communicate directly to the yokels and hillbillies who are going to attend this Quran burning or might potentially attend the Quran burning ceremony. Yeah. And, you know, I think, well, oh, bonanza. Okay, well, I get it now.
We shouldn't give the good Terry Jones any more airtime.
Yeah, no. Terry Jones. Spam.
Spam.
Terry Jones did a lot of other really funny things besides the spam sketch. I mean,
he was one of my favorite pythons.
Absolutely. The hermit scene in Life of Brian in particular.
Oh, God, yeah.
In fact, I debated whether or not to play that at the top of the show, but it's not really an audio thing. It's kind of a visual.
No. Yeah, you got to see his sack dangling when he runs back to his hole there to really get that one.
Yeah, you got to totally look for that sack, that Terry Jones sack right there.
That's one of the greatest movies of all time, though.
Hey, you know what? Thank you for that appropriate segue. The folks at Bubble Genius, Pure Products, Pure Genius, Bubble Genius at bubblegenius.etsy.com. They actually created a commercial for us to play on the show.
Uh-oh.
And it involves balls.
Oh, it's not me talking about balls, is it?
No.
Oh, thank God.
No, it's...
that would be a misappropriation of my ball-talking abilities.
It's both funny and weird.
Informative?
And a little bit... I would say a little bit disturbing, but mostly funny. I think it's pretty good.
Is the word surfactant in it anywhere?
The word surfactant does not appear in this.
Wow. But, I've lost interest then.
But it does have a significant shock value. And, well, with no further ado, I just cut the Bubble Genius music here, and we'll play the new Bubble Genius commercial. It's really kind of funny.
Hey, guys. I know I don't say this enough, but... I'm going to say it now. When push comes to shove, you guys are always there for me. And you really hung in there. And, you've always been so close to me. So, don't take this the wrong way, but I got you something. I love you guys.
Aw, we love you too.
I love you guys.
Oh, no.
Powder for your nads by Bubble Genius.
Bubblegenius.com.
That guy was not talking to his own balls.
He was talking to his balls, and his balls actually say something back in like a chipmunk voice.
Chipmunk voice, yeah. That's see when mine talk, it's like in a like a Barry White kind of a, you know. I gotta give him sort of a deep, deep profundo sort of voice.
That's funny. Mine actually speaking like a Jersey accent, and they just basically go, "Hey, what do you want from me?"
That's disturbing.
That is very disturbing. So that's the big Bubble Genius commercial.
Jesus Christ.
For their I Love You Guys NAD talc. And it's actually quite great. They sent me some NAD talc not too long ago. Really good stuff. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius. And by the way, the more convenient URL for their Etsy store, I've been doing the long form. I understand yes. There's a shorter one. It's bubblegenius.etsy. That's E-T-S-Y. .com. Make sure to enter the promo code Bob and Elvis, BOBANDELVIS. Get 15% off your entire order at Bubble G. Yes. And, you know, you just really got to take your hats off to a sponsor that is so freaking cool about stuff like doing commercials in which they, you know, typically sponsors frown upon that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They say, you know what? We're not going to advertise on a show that has talking balls on it. But with Bubble Genius, they actually give us the talking balls bit.
Beat us to it.
They beat us to it.
Maybe they should be our co-writers.
That's right. They're actually doing preparation. Us on the
yeah,
other
hand. We're just phoning it in, literally.
Yeah, I mean, we just make it up as we go along is what exactly we do. And, by the way, this is like, I guess you would call this a commercial break on the show because we're welcoming a new sponsor this week.
French accordion music.
Pomegranate Journeys. Now, this is like yet another sponsor that is just like tailor-made for, well, for me at least. I'll speak for myself. I mean,
just free.
Experience amazing with Pomegranate Journeys. It's pomegranate.travel. That's like the actual, instead of, it's not a .com, it's a .travel. Pomegranate.travel. And they combine, like as I said at the top of the show, like three of my favorite things: food, wine, and cycling. They conduct probably some of the coolest cycling tours of both France and Italy, and specifically the best. I mean, those are both like two of my favorite places in the entire universe. But the best locations in those areas. Later on in the show, we'll talk about some of the specific tours, but. You know, we're talking about Tuscany, we're talking about Provence, Dolomites, like the coolest freaking place. I mean, I just, you know, here's the problem. Here's the problem with a place like, you know, going on a tour with Pomegranate is I wouldn't come home. I would just be like, yeah, you know what, bye, I'm staying. Go on without me. And we talk about Bubble Genius where they, you know, they use sustainable products and they recycle and everything is vegan. Well, Pomegranate Journeys, they have something called the Pomegranate Fund. And this is something you won't find in any other tour group. They contribute to worthwhile causes in local areas where they operate. For example, if they travel through Italy and determine their impact on the local community, and they measure that in dollars and cents to be, say, $100, the Pomegranate Fund would have $100 added to their fund to be allocated for a project in Italy that'll benefit the local community. So it's almost like a carbon offset, really.
Wow.
For the footprint of their
tour.
How
much carbon offset is there in a bicycling tour? Plus, you're coming into their towns and spending your euros, so.
Yeah, but I mean, they're eating food there that, they, I mean, they're actually, you know, in a way, they're kind of intruding on a little town and using some of those resources. And so what they do is they give back, you know, I think. And those are the kind of sponsors you like to hear about. And that's why I'm always talking about supporting independent businesses. Independent companies, especially liberal companies, and everyone who sponsors this show are decidedly liberal. And we'll talk more about pomegranate a little later on. Pomegranate.travel, Pomegranate Journeys. Make sure to sign up their newsletter. If for no other reason, just to fantasize about going on one of these tours, which yeah. I will be doing until I actually get some free time to go on one. So
the advertising deal with fuckyoufrogs.com didn't come through, where you take an SUV, where you take a Hummer, an H4, and you just roll through town.
That's right.
That's the tour I want to take. I'm not bicycling anywhere. I'm an American, goddammit.
And by frogs, you're obviously meaning French people, right?
Oui. Right. Have you ever been to France?
I have not, and I would just, it's got to be my favorite place in the universe that I haven't
gone
to.
Your favorite place, you've never been there.
That's right. Well, because I spent all of July looking at it on television, Tour de France.
It's beautiful. I've been there many times, and it's lovely.
Yeah. And, voyager
les campagnes sur une bicyclette.
I would love to drive around there on a bike.
I mean, do you speak? I mean, that was actually really damn good.
I do, oui. Je parle français un peu.
I got engaged in Paris.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, that was the shit right there is what that was. Total surprise. Literally picked her up from work and, an hour later we're on first class Air France to Charles de Gaulle. It was back when I had all that funny internet money. Back when they were just throwing money at us. Literally our business unit would, they're like, at the end of the month, they're like, oh, we got $100,000 here. Split that five ways and just handing out checks.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to get engaged in Paris because I'm badass.
And, I'm sitting here listening to this and I'm going, damn it, I feel like a rube. I've never been to France. Well, sounds lovely. I got to go one of these days. Have me some of them French fries.
Freedom fries.
Yeah, no. If they didn't actually, after 9/11 or right into the run-up to Iraq War when freedom fries were a thing, they didn't burn French fries. They didn't have an international burn a French fry day.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised. Yeah. Because now they're burning the Quran. And it just shows you how extreme... And how angry they are. Angry at the Muslims.
Displacing some of that good American anti-French sentiment.
That's right. So, there was a gigantic two-hour love letter. I think it was 2 hours long. Big love letter to Rudy Giuliani last night. I mean, literally coronating this guy as Saint Rudy Giuliani.
Of the 9/11.
Patron of the 9/11. I mean, it was literally like watching that scene. I keep going back to this movie. Obviously, because it's one of my favorite movies, but like that's that segment of Boogie Nights where they're doing the Dirk Diggler story, the documentary about Dirk Diggler within the movie, and it's just a love letter. It's just Amber Waves' love letter to Dirk about his love of karate and music.
It's sort of the Vaseline on the lens. It's all bright and shiny and soft. And, yeah, you have an unhealthy obsession with that movie. I really do. Secretly want to be a porn star.
That got me pegged. There, you know what? There was a nude cycling rally in Philadelphia. No, the last weekend. No one informed me of this.
Who in their right mind would bicycle nude in public?
I don't know, but I hope they brought their NAD talc. I mean, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, you probably don't have much of a porn star career if your Ned's talking a Jersey accent. You've probably written yourself out of the market there.
What do you want from me?
Whereas mine with the Barry White, I think I got a second career on my hands.
So speaking of balls then, Rudy, this thing, it was Rudy's sort of TikTok. It was his play-by-play, here's how awesome I am, as told by Rudy. I mean, literally Rudy... In a room, yep. Almost like the veterans in speaking at the beginning of Band of Brothers, and I'm looking at this and I'm seeing Rudy marching around in the rubble and everything like that, trying to where the fuck am I going, and all I'm seeing is behind him, Bernie Kerik, and how there wasn't a single goddamn mention. Of the fact that his right-hand man...
Disgraced, bald, criminal...
Yeah, was Bernie Kerik. Yeah. I mean, in the press conferences, there he was, Bernie Kerik, right there. I mean, that's it proves to me whenever you have something that is 100% positive, and this was no lie, that Rudy could do no wrong in this thing.
Yeah.
Especially with his love of karate. he could do no wrong. And so there was not one single, well, you know what, Bernie Kerik turned out to be a real son of a bitch. Or, you know what, Rudy decided to put his command and control center in the World Trade Center.
The easiest target in New York.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't want to shit too much on 9/11 Rudy, like the Rudy of that day. I mean, we all sort of rallied behind him more than we did the actual, you know, the president of the United States. It's what he's done since that has crapped on that legacy. I mean, this Nat Geo show would be fine if it was 9/11 2002, right? I mean, before he'd had the chance to completely shit on his own legacy with his insane rhetoric and his move so far to the right. I mean, I don't even recognize. It's like what happened to McCain in the 2008 election, in the campaign. I just don't recognize him anymore. This isn't the Rudy, you know, we knew from 9/11. And he was certainly, I think he deserves some amount of credit for being a, you know, at least cool-headed and level-headed and you know, visible, unlike our president. But you know, it's everything he's done since that he should go fuck himself over.
Yeah, I mean you're exactly right, and it's easy to bitch about, you know, Rudy's performance on 9/11, and I'm not as impressed as you were. I think he was basically anchorman. I mean, that's essentially what Rudy provided. He was there in that press conference saying, "Well, we don't know how many people were killed." And he was there. I mean, he was able to report from the ground. And so he was almost like a de facto field reporter for all of the newscasting that was going on.
But it took a certain amount of sack to, you know, in the hours afterwards. You remember how chaotic. I mean, I was in D.C. at the time. I was trying to get my dad on the phone because my dad worked right across the Potomac from the Pentagon. And, you know, there were reports on the radio, local D.C. radio, of hijacked police airplanes flying down the Potomac towards DC. I mean, the State Department bomb, remember that? There was supposedly a bomb in or outside the State Department.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew someone who was staying in a hotel like right next to the Empire State Building, and they had to evacuate because there was a threat. It was that night. It was the night of September 11th. And no, it was the night of September 12th, I think. Because don't you remember how we all felt? On September 12th, we felt so awesome. I don't know about you, but it was a shitty day. September 12th. It was the day after the worst terrorist attack in America. I felt like shit.
But here's what happened.
They evacuated the Empire State Building, and they evacuated that whole block. And I was...
So it took some sack. I mean, my point was, it took some sack for Rudy to be that visible and be walking around with his shiny, bald head, you know, making a target of himself. you know, in the very immediate aftermath. I mean, just, you know, really that same day. So I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But it's all the hysteria, you know, and it was just hysteria. In my neighborhood, this woman from up the street, when we were living in Sterling at the time, Sterling, Virginia, out west there, off of Route 7, and this woman was going around door to door with a petition. I don't know who she was going to give it to. But it was, she handed it to me, and I'm like, oh, what's this? And she's like, because there were people out on the street holding signs, you know, support, I don't know, just USA flag waving and people going by honking horns. It was, you know, very patriotic. But then this woman shows up with this petition. She's collecting names, and I'm like, oh, what is this? And she, it's a petition, you know, that we're not going to, that we're against terrorism. And I'm like, uh-oh. What? Who are you going to give it? You going to mail it to Al-Qaeda? I mean, and like the guy, like Muhammad, one of these guys is going to get their hands on and go, oh, well, goddamn, this woman in Sterling, Virginia has got 20 names here that they're against terrorism. Well, fuck that. I guess we're done. You know, it's that hysteria that ended it for me. Like that just made me go, oh, things are so different now. Like we just lost our minds over this.
I mean, Rudy did his job on that day, and what?
Yeah,
and
competently.
But
that's all.
And every day since then, he has been acting like a complete tool about it, and completely diminishing it. I mean, it's yeah. one thing
a
noun,
to a verb in 9/11.
Exactly. So I mean, you quietly and with as much humility, and that is exactly what he did not do.
That's right. And it's, you know, it's a shame because he could have, and I think it really had to do with, you know, his potential candidacy in 2008 and having to run. So, you know, every candidate in that in the Republican batch had to figure out a way to adjust themselves to be anti-Bush, you know, to get away from that, but yet be just this sort of ultra patriotism sort of, I don't even know what it changed Giuliani. It changed, McCain. I don't know. Did you see McCain's daughter on Maddow last night?
No, really? She was on?
Oh, hottie. Yeah, there's a rumor going around that she's got a little bit of the Lesbos going on. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Makes sense. I mean, she's a serious advocate for gay rights. I thought she was going to come out on Rachel's show last night.
You know, the only thing I really know about Meghan McCain is that tire swing video that she did.
Yeah.
Wow. Which pissed me off. Yeah, that was like hot. That was like the high water mark of the corporate press just completely sucking up to McCain.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, well, she's definitely a moderate. It's not like she's going to run for office or anything, but she's. Yeah. I like that she sort of stands up to her old man on a couple of core issues and had a really interesting interview. Look it up online if you can. It was a great interview.
So, yeah, I mean, speaking of Rudy, the Republic, I mean, it's just another item in a long list of evidence that where the Republicans they've always tried to associate themselves with 9/11, but now they're literally branding it,
yeah,
as, you know, as a for-profit venture. Yeah. I mean, you saw all these events that are happening, but of course, Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck are going to have a quote-unquote rally. It's not a rally. It's a concert because it's at the Ticketmaster is selling the tickets. So to even call it a rally in Anchorage, Alaska is a bastardization of the word rally. It is a show. They're putting on a big Las Vegas-style show. There's probably going to be a white tiger or something there. And that's going to be on September 11th. Ticket prices range from $73.75 per person, including taxes and fees, to VIP seats that cost $225 a seat.
That's awesome.
No indication as to whom or what the proceeds will go, reports The Hill.
And now they'll have to, you know, because of that reporting, they're going to have to, you know, pony up some bullshit charity that it all goes to, because God knows none of those people need money. But I don't understand. I don't understand paying to commemorate. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah,
the cynicism and the fact that it just seems to be okay with those people.
And you know,
people
are gonna
think of anyone on the left did that.
Yeah,
think of the hue and cry.
Right. Right. People are going to buy tickets. I mean, they're going to go. It'll be a packed house.
Of course.
In this, Civic Arena there in Anchorage.
Anchorage. So Glenn Beck can get a reach around.
Right. I mean, $73 is the low. I mean, you know, the last concert I went to, I think, was $35.
Yeah.
Was the general admission price for a ticket. $73.
You can't get out of Ticketmaster for less than $75 these days.
The opening act is My Chemical Romance, by the way.
No, it's not.
I'm kidding about that.
Yeah.
If you get suddenly they're doing like a teeny bopper like emo tour.
It's the Jonas Brothers.
The Jonas Brothers. Sarah Palin, Glenn Beck, the Jonas Brothers, My Chemical Romance. It's like the Patriotism and Emo Tour 2010, September 11th.
It would just be the best thing ever if people just commonsensically boycotted that. I mean, not even an organized boycott. Just people said, you know what? I'm not spending money on that on 9/11. Fuck that. Spend that money, you know, some other way.
And disgraced lobbyist Ralph Reed is using his consulting firm Century Strategies to host a, quote, faith and freedom conference and strategy briefing with an assortment of conservatives, including Brent Bozell, who is Dr. Zaius from Planet of the Apes, Tony Perkins, Rich Lowry, who I'm surprised is not like the opening act for Sarah. He's like the Sarah, like Sarah's fluffer.
Yeah.
Tucker Carlson, Grover Norquist, Governor Bob McDonald, Republican.
Grover Norquist is hanging out at a Ralph Reed function?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Faith and Freedom Conference and strategy briefing.
Yeah, we got to get our strategy briefing.
That's right.
Doesn't anyone... How disgraced does Ralph Reed have to be to have no credibility in this sort of thing anymore? I mean, didn't he basically single-handedly bankrupt Faith and Family organization thing? I mean, didn't he just drive that right in the ground?
I don't think these guys even give a rip whatsoever who they're associated with anymore. As long as there's a paycheck, especially for guys like Tucker Carlson, I guess they need the paycheck.
Yeah.
But I mean, the governor of Virginia, Bob McDonald.
That guy's an asshole.
Who's basically a suit with a haircut.
Yeah.
Is going to be there. Representative Lynn Westmoreland, Republican from Georgia, is going to be there. And our favorite guy in the world, Eric Erickson.
Ugh.
And others. And there's more.
There's more.
My Chemical Romance. Opening mm-hmm. This is We're like busy. A quadruple bill. I mean, this is like really like, all of those sort of middle of the last decade emo multi-billed tours that went through all the various amphitheaters and things mm-hmm. where all the tween girls show up. The event is September 10th and 11th. And costs $95 for early registration. $95.
Well, it doesn't sound like, at least that, is. It doesn't sound like he's hanging his banner completely over 9/11. Like, the two things necessarily have to do with each other. I'm not gonna shit on capitalism happening over those dates because that just lends, saying that they can't do that, if it's not specifically a 9/11 event like this Palin Beck thing. That lends the sort of mysticism to it that we think is crap anyway. So yeah. It's like these people that are against the Muslim Family Day at Six Flags because it happens over the 9/11 weekend. Ooh,
stop. I'm not saying they shouldn't necessarily do it. I'm just suggesting that they're trying to brand 9/11, which is kind of shameless.
Oh, it's totally shameless.
Now keep doing it, though. I mean, for God's sake, make yourself look like a bunch of dinks. I don't care. Newt Gingrich is using September 11th to unveil a new movie called America at Risk, which Gingrich says will drive the, quote, national dialogue about President Obama's failure to address the, quote, rise of radical Islam and its attempts to impose Sharia law on the United States. Gingrich's website notes that the public can, quote, pre-order your copy now for just $19.95 plus $4 shipping.
Oh, good Lord. Bless Newt. He needs the money. Yeah. Keep all his various wives and mistresses and
keep all his wives.
Yeah.
Keep his helmet hair and
yeah, this whole Sharia law thing is man, am I worried about that. I cannot sleep at night for fear that some judge in Nebraska is going to force me to beat women and, not eat pork. Yeah. I'm so worried about that I'm going to have to go to my local courthouse here in Podunk, Nebraska, and they're going to force me to believe in the Quran.
Yeah.
Man, that keeps me up at night.
Again, it's like, there's no difference between, freaking out about Sharia law than there is, like there being a toe monster under your bed. I mean, it's the same.
Yeah, might as well worry about the toe monster.
Exactly. It's the same level of reality. Yeah, there might be Muslims who want to impose Sharia law on the world, but there are, 10 of them? It's completely and totally unrealistic.
But we have a constitution in this country that supersedes every fucking thing.
Right.
They find these... Apparently Detroit has lost its fucking mind. Mm-hmm. And there's like a huge Muslim community in Detroit, apparently. I think it's the number one Muslim population in the country, I think, is in Michigan for some reason. And there was this case where, I don't know, some crazy judge, some Muslim man beat the shit out of his wife and told the cops that it was his right under Sharia showed him the book where it said, and lo, Muhammad said, don't worry about it if you kick the shit out of your wife. And the cops were like, and then this judge said, well, it's this religious thing and we're not going to really get involved. And they're pointing to that as proof that the United States court system is now leaning towards Sharia as its governing factor. It's ludicrous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, again, I think it's an offshoot of birtherism. I mean, what he's suggesting basically is that President Obama, I mean, this is the dog whistle. I mean, President Obama is a Muslim sleeper who is going to systematically and slowly, like boiling a frog, switch everything over to Sharia law. I mean, that's what they're getting at here. And somehow, some way, Newt Gingrich is still taken seriously. I mean, this guy could be our next vice president. I could go so far as to say he could ever have a chance of being president, but he could be the Cheney on a ticket. Today's show, of course, brought to you by Bubble Genius. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius. They've got another photo promotion happening at Bubble Genius. They're going to give a free soap to everyone who emails a photo of themselves with their, quote, I voted sticker on Election Day. So coming up in November, on November 2nd, you go to vote, you get your I voted sticker, you take a snapshot of yourself, and then you upload it and send it over to the folks at Bubble Genius, and you get a free soap. One soap per person. Plus, you'll get a code for a huge discount, which will be good for the first 2 weeks of November. So you not only get a free soap, but then you also get a discount on all of your soap products after that for the first two weeks of November. That's bubblegenius.etsy.com. Pure products, pure genius. And also, you can enter the promo code Bob and Elvis. Get 15% off your entire order. And don't forget to pick up your I Love You Guys NAD Talc. Especially if you're going to be joining me at any nude cycling events.
Oh, gosh. I'm not going to eat for a week.
It hurts to think about it. It hurts to even imagine that as a possibility. Mm-hmm. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius. And, of course, our new sponsor is Pomegranate Journeys. I've been looking forward to talking about the actual the tours here. From pomegranate.travel, scenic cycling tours, wine, food, France and Italy, my God. They've got several tours that they offer here, and they're on various levels of cycling difficulty. There are a couple of beginner tours.
That's what I would need. Do they follow you around with like an ambulance with oxygen and a ham sandwich?
Yeah, I think there's a car that sort of rides behind, almost like the actual Tour de France, or as like pro cycling. There's always a team car that falls behind and that provides water, flat tire assistance and all that stuff. Yeah, Loire Valley, a royal affair, Puglia biking.
Is it pretty flat in the Loire Valley? I'm looking for the flattest tour I can get. I can ride a bike. I've got a nice bike, but if there's a hill, anything above a foot and a half worth of incline, I'm out.
Right.
Just give me the French bread, the ham, and the butter, and cafe au lait, and I'm all set.
The Loire Valley, Puglia biking, and Cinque Terre hiking. Cinque Terre hiking. That's Italy. I'm only half Italian, by the way. Hi.
Half dumbass.
I'm going Cinque Terre hiking. That's also beginner level. But, I mean, the one that I keep looking at is the Provence Tour. And this is this is 8 full days, 7 nights, and it's like an intermediate level difficulty, which is, I could probably do maybe the advanced, but... These guys, I mean, this goes over Mont Ventoux, which is the that's the big sort of Tour de France mountain in that area in the Provence region.
Yeah, that wouldn't work for me at all.
No. But, I mean, we're talking about the best food, the best lodging. There's an olive oil tasting, wine tasting, Avignon guided tour, an art tour of Saint-Rémy, French language lessons. I mean, this is just some amazing stuff. And it's absolutely, I mean, if I could choose one tour from Pomegranate, it would be the Provence Tour. So Experience.
Well, they need to send me on a free tour as well. So, je voudrais une excursion libre, s'il vous plaît.
You can actually translate for me.
Well, give me one of those for free.
Experience amazing with Pomegranate Journeys. That's at pomegranate.travel. It's pomegranate.travel. You'll find the link on bobsesca.com. So, and this coming up segment, by the way, is brought to you by Dusty Dog Vintage. Stylish women's vintage clothing and accessories, along with Mad Men throwback cool for the guys. Shop Dusty Dog Vintage on Etsy. You can go to www.dustydogvintage.com.
Yes.
So there you go.
They do good.
So we go back to, I don't want to necessarily go back to wing nuts like Terry Jones. But the weird sort of upswing in Tea Party homophobia is represented by this guy in Montana. Did you hear about this story?
Yeah. Not pleased.
So this guy, the head of the, I don't know, this is some Tea Party group, Big Sky, Montana Big Sky Tea Party.
Yep.
This guy named Tim Ravindahl is having a sort of a banter on Facebook with this guy named Dennis Scranton. Dennis Scranton writes, "I think fruits are decorative. Hang up where they can be seen and appreciated. Call Wyoming for display instructions." Real classy. Of course, you get it. Hang the fruits. Mm. Wyoming, that's, of course, where Matthew Shepard was killed. And then Tim Ravindahl goes, "Oops, I forgot this ain't America no more. Dennis, where can I get that Wyoming printed instruction manual?"
Oh.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one thing to be homophobic. You're a jagoff for doing that. But this guy goes and is publicly joking about Matthew Shepard being tortured and murdered back in 1998. So,
and the other guy helps him out, says, "You know, go back like 10 years, like very specifically pointing to the Matthew Shepard incident." He's being very helpful there. So.
Right.
You might even get an illustration, he said, something like that.
Yeah, so, I wonder if there's like a cool wingnut photo. They love the Photoshop. I'm just wondering if there's a cool wingnut Photoshop for the instruction manual in terms of how to torture and murder a person.
Yeah, for loving another, you know, for being a certain way.
Right. So funny.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's a zinger.
I just don't know. To somehow all of these things that we're talking about, the Islamophobia, homophobia, all these things that have become politicized now, all go back to this sort of religious. I mean, there's a doctrinal undertone to all of this that you know, if you really corner them, you know, they refuse to be interviewed or talked to in any actual public sphere, like Sharon Angle fleeing. But if you really pin them down, the only thing they've got is, well, it's in the Bible. It's, you know, it's in the Bible, or it's Christian versus Muslim. It's this pollution of extreme fundamentalist Christianity in our politics that it's absolutely destroying our public discourse.
Well, that should be just absolutely fascinating to observe, because now there are the Republicans are beginning to talk about becoming the party of same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
And I want to see. Yeah, good luck with that. I applaud them, of course, for finally seeing the light after running one of the most obnoxious and terrible campaigns in recent memory. I mean, I would say 2004 in terms of the homophobia there was akin to perhaps, you know, Jesse Helms and White Hands and maybe Willie Horton.
Willie Horton.
Yeah. But yet now they're going to embrace same-sex marriage. I want to see how that plays out with the religious wing nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's what they don't get. And, you know, it's been fascinating watching Andrew Sullivan loves to, because he's British, but he lives here. He's been keeping close watch on the conservative movement in Britain and how it's moved, you know, almost entirely into the middle on social issues, and appears to be thriving that way. He tracks them fiscally, which is one whole argument for why the conservative movement in Britain is doing better, but also socially. And it's going to require a hard, hard break with the core, with the religious, with the family values, religious core of the conservative movement. You know, movementarian conservatism is going to have to go away in order for them to get to be a modern party. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is they're reaping what they've sowed over the last, you know, since Reagan, I guess, since the pandering to the moral majority.
Yeah.
Now they're stuck with it. They are stuck with it. And if they're going to finally move into the 21st century, which they just haven't done yet, they're going to have to break with that. And that's what percentage would you think that is of their voting base?
Well, they're certainly not. I mean, not anytime soon, because I mean, they're so beholden to that base right now. I mean, the base is. I mean, the tail is wagging the dog at this point. The Tea Party, and guys like, you know, this idiot Tim Ravindahl, who by the way was evidently kicked out of the Big Sky Tea Party in Montana, but then a bunch of Tea Party members decided they were going to quit too because he was booted out. So now they're thinking about reinstating him.
Nice.
But these guys are controlling the message for the Republican Party, because the Republican Party doesn't have the sack to be able to say to people like Glenn Beck or Sarah Palin, shut the fuck up. And you know, we know what we're doing here. Stop trying to screw it up for us. But they're not going to do that. So they're going to advance people like Sharon Angle and Rand Paul and Sarah Palin, for that matter. And that's going to control the message for them. And Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and all the others, Bill Cunningham, the whole set of wing nuts are, you know, basically running the hen house.
Yeah. They're going to have to break with it someday, and it's going to be bloody and horrible the movement conservative religious base is going to find themselves without a viable national party. And vice versa, and the Republican Party is going to find itself without a strong base if they want to get in the 21st century, because eventually the population of this country, the political makeup of this country is going to evolve without the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to. I've used this example before. I'm sitting at dinner with my nephew, who's at the time was 15, and we're all having a family dinner. And he just comes out and says, "Oh, a friend of mine at school came out the other day," and we all just went, and it was on to the next thing. It was no big thing. It's just that generation is that when we get rid of the baby boomers, is going to just have absolutely no problem with these social issues that Republicans think they can put on ballot initiatives and get votes out of.
I mean, how do they expect to embrace that when we learned the other day that even Labor Day is like evil? I mean, Labor Day is the devil.
Yeah, labor
amongst these guys. I mean, remember, you know, we're not just talking about fringe, like fringe wackaloons here. No. I mean, Glenn Beck is helping to control the Republican narrative right now. Rush Limbaugh is helping to control the Republican narrative right now. And the guy who was filling in for Glenn Beck on Labor Day, because Glenn Beck was taking the Labor Day vacation off, this guy named Doc Thompson, who just, again, sounds like another jive DJ, jive top 40 DJ, who's decided to, as a career move, pretend like a wingnut conservative. Mm-hmm. Not realizing that people listen to that and that it becomes part of serious things. It's not like doing a wacky voice in the morning to make fun of, you know, Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga. We're talking about the actual course of American politics, American history, and this kind of bullshit is tainting the water, so to speak. So, it's a long-winded setup for this guy saying that basically Labor Day is Socialism Day. And here's Doc Thompson, right, filling in for Brenda.
And the doctor is in the house.
The doctor!
The doctor, everybody!
Coming to you live from the studios of WRVA in Richmond, Virginia.
WRVA in Richmond, Virginia, also with a studio at King's Dominion in Doswell.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, WRVA had a studio there. I think of being the base of the Eiffel Tower replica there, King's Dominion, right?
That's awesome.
That's how I know WRVA from Richmond.
Very serious.
Hey, it's a doctor.
Doctor coming at you, everybody. Weather on the sixes, traffic on the nines.
That's right.
Glenn's affiliate in Richmond. Happy Socialism Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, today is America's yearly tribute to that great political system known as socialism.
Even the dickhead they get to fill in for him sounds like Glenn Beck.
That's
like Glenn, his two nutty sidekick retards, and now this replacement guy, they all sound the same.
It's because they all come from the cookie cutter morning zoo genre of FM radio. Yeah. And it's just the satin jacket and the Hawaiian shirt.
Happy Socialism Day, everybody, because, you know, it's only labor that makes the fucking world go round. So if you're a worker, you know, if you actually go to a job and you put in hard labor, unlike me who sit on my fucking pansy white powdered ass all day and talk into a microphone, fuck you then, you're a socialist. We don't need labor. Who needs labor? Who needs work? Isn't that what they're always telling people to do? Go out and get a job. Well, that's labor, you fuck.
Yeah.
You stupid ass.
Well,
it makes me so goddamn mad. I can't see straight.
Yeah.
The demonization of unions in this country in particular pisses me off. That if you really sat down with one of these wingnuts and talked about what unions do, they negotiate the best possible wage for their workers with management. Shut the fuck up about unions.
Right.
They sit down and they get these companies. Basically what it is a negotiation to see how little these companies are willing to move on how much they will pay their employees, because they will pay them more if you're unionized, because they can. But otherwise, without unions, with right to work states, we can just pay them less and keep the profit, because that's what we do.
Yeah. And by the way, the schlubs who sit behind the scenes and make sure shows like Doc Thompson actually reach the airwaves, the engineers,
they're all unionized. Completely. Every cameraman that's ever pointed a camera at Beck's fat punch me face is in a union. That's a good point. I never thought about that. If I was one of those cameramen, I would want to come out from behind that camera and punch him in the face. He said something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Hey, coming up after my socialism rant here, a little bit of donkey basketball in the morning. More continuous music. Hey, I'm Doc Thompson, the doctor.
Happy Socialism Day, everybody. Here's tomorrow we're going to have a drink a gallon of milk and try not to vomit contest. I did that once. A bunch of guys at work bet me $100 that I couldn't drink a gallon of milk in an hour. And like an idiot, I didn't Google it. It wasn't Google back then. Like, Google would have told me immediately that was – but it's not about how much your stomach can hold. It's the fact that milk is a base, right? It kills all the acid, and you just can't do it. You cannot do it.
Yeah.
You vomit. And I did. I vomited explosively. I brought a little peanut butter sandwich. I was like, yeah, I can, you know, a little peanut butter, a little milk. You cannot drink a gallon of milk in an hour. It will fucking kill you.
That absolutely does not surprise me whatsoever.
That I did that?
That you did that.
Yeah, that I'm that big a retard.
You know what I once did is someone dared me to eat the five roast beef sandwiches for $5 at Arby's.
Nice.
I did it.
Somebody,
My ruffian college days.
Yeah. A couple of coworkers didn't believe that I would actually eat a McRib sandwich, so they followed me to McDonald's to watch me eat one. I love me the McRibs. Or I did. But, man, McRibs. Those are good. They got the pickles and the onions. Oh, my God.
Pickles,
that's a good
and
sandwich.
And
in fact, today at Peanuts school lunch is barbecue rib sandwich.
And I love it how they actually shape the meat product into the shape of ribs.
It is molded in some sort of industrial press to make it look like a slab of boneless ribs. That's one of the things I love about it.
Yep.
And it's on a delicious, like a hoagie bun with pickles and onions. Man, that is a fine product.
That's good eating. Yep.
God damn, I love me the McRib. I was one of the first human beings ever to eat a McNugget. That's a true fact.
Really?
They were test marketing them in Dallas, Texas.
You are Gump.
I am Gump.
Absolutely.
Everywhere
Gump.
There's something cool, there I am.
You're right there.
Eating McNuggets. My the school lunches here, though, pissing me off. They have a product now, a lunch product called, and this is, I mean, usually you look at a menu and it's like hamburger, tacos, whatever. It's things that you recognize as meals, right? As entrees.
Yeah.
They call them Italian dunkers.
So I asked my daughter, so what the fuck is this Italian Dunkers? She's like, well, they give you some breadsticks and like a little pot of sauce to dip it in. And that's your entree. That's your meal.
Yeah.
I was like, this school can go to hell. They're serving Italian Dunkers to kids. I was like, I don't even understand that. My brain, I don't, what? That's not food. The Italian Dunkers.
Yeah.
Some sort of processed meat filth that they dunk bread into as an entree.
Yeah. What do you want from me?
The callback.
Mm-hmm.
Get haha Tuesday.
Duh. Italian Dunkers. That's really kind of gross.
So she brings it for anyone worrying that I send her to eat these things. No, she brings her.
Thank God. I mean, the crap they're serving kids. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. You fudge with us, you fudge with the best. Drive safely. And enjoy yourself a big handful of Italian Dunkers.
But spam.
Spam. Take care,
spam,
everybody.
Spam, ham, Italian Dunkers, and spam.
Bye, everybody.
Good luck.